Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, What Would Jesus Do? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is our starting point for this series of studies, so we invite you now to get your Bibles and turn with us to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we will start our study there in just a few moments. As you turn there, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive with questions or comments that you might have about the program or about the information you hear on the program more exactly, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or the CDs or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you write to us and request them during this month, we'd be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you that contact information. If you want to get a pen or pencil, some paper now, as you get your Bibles, to get that information down at the end of the program. Right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, we read this. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In this passage, Paul talks to the church at Corinth about following him as he follows Christ. And we've been, in this series of studies, reconciling that admonition with the modern cultural phenomenon today of what would Jesus do? You know that many places we see that, what would Jesus do? WWJD. And it's the idea is to ask the question, when you have a decision to make, or you have two different directions you could go, or two different things you could do, two different choices you could make, what would Jesus do? What's the choice that he would make? And the focus in that question is on the earthly ministry of Christ. When Jesus Christ was here, walking and talking and teaching on planet Earth, how did he live and what should you do in order to follow his example here in his earthly ministry? Now, we've been seeing in the past couple of weeks that question really misses the point in some very important areas. Because this passage that we've been starting with, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, tells us that we follow Paul as he follows Christ. Not that we worship Paul in the way we worship Christ, or that we would follow him. Paul was not crucified for us. Paul didn't rise again from the dead for us. Christ is our Savior, Christ is our Redeemer, Christ is our Deliverer, Christ is our Head. Yet it's through Paul that Christ reveals the information about living in the dispensation of grace. Therefore, Paul puts himself out here as, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I am instructing you and being an illustration to you and a demonstration to you and an example to you of the proper way to follow Christ in the dispensation of grace. And we've seen briefly the distinction between the two men, between Christ in his earthly ministry and Paul in his ministry. Jesus Christ, we're told, was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the covenants made unto the fathers. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto him as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So in Christ, in his earthly ministry, we're looking at a minister of the circumcision. In Paul's ministry, we're looking at a minister of the uncircumcision. In Christ, in his earthly ministry, we are looking at a ministry focused on and growing out of prophecy. Jesus Christ, Romans 15:8 tells us, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Well, those promises made to the fathers are the subject of the prophetic program. The prophecies, the promises made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the prophets that came after them, those are the prophets and the promises, rather, and the prophecies that Jesus Christ came to minister about. Paul, on the other hand, says that he presents Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. So Paul is not giving information about prophecy. Paul is not fulfilling prophecy. Paul is not confirming the promises made to the fathers. Rather, Paul is giving new information about Jesus Christ, mystery information about him, not before revealed, not revealed to the prophets and to the fathers. And finally, Galatians chapter 4 tells us that Jesus Christ was made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry walked and taught and functioned under the law of Moses. Jesus Christ kept the law in every point. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He, in Matthew chapter 23, he told his followers, the scribes and Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat, all they therefore observe you, that do, or command you, that do. So the scribes and Pharisees are in Moses' seat representing the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. You need to obey them and you need to obey that law. Paul tells us we are not under law, but under grace. He tells us not to go back under the bondage of the law, not to go back under the elements of this world, touch not, taste not, handle not, but rather to live in the liberty of grace. Now, those distinctions don't make either man wrong, don't make either circumstance wrong. There is no wrong, there's no false information presented by Christ as a minister to the circumcision, fulfilling prophecy, and living under the law. There's no false information presented by Paul as a minister of the uncircumcision, presenting Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and living under grace. Neither one of them is presenting false information, but they are each presenting information to a particular group of people in a particular time. They're each revealing God's truth to a particular group of people in a particular time. Jesus Christ is revealing truth to the circumcision about the prophecies of the Old Testament leading up to the kingdom. He's proclaiming a message of the kingdom being at hand. And as he does so, he lives in the context of Israel's law. And all of that is perfectly right and proper and correct scripturally for the time in which he's living and the message that he is presenting and the people to whom he's presenting it. On the other hand, Paul, presenting a message to the uncircumcision about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery in the context of the dispensation of grace, that too is a message that is perfectly right and proper and true for the people to whom he's presenting it in the time frame in which he's presenting it. It's just that it's at polar opposites from the message presented to that other group of people in another time frame, in another context. Both are true, but the two messages are different. In Scripture, we must always rightly divide the word of truth. We must always understand who is being ministered, who is doing the ministering, to whom are they ministering, what is the time frame in which they're ministering, and what is the setting, the context of that ministry. And that's what we're doing here when we look at Jesus Christ and Paul, and their two different and distinct ministries. Obviously, if you are to make a decision, if you were to say, what should I do in this particular circumstance? The answer you get from a minister of the circumcision, fulfilling prophecy, living under the law, is going to be different than the answer you get from the minister of the uncircumcision, proclaiming Jesus Christ according to revelation, the mystery, living under grace. They can't help but be different. Neither one is wrong, but each is for the context of the time in which it's given. And understand, we've been pointing this out each week, and it's important to remember that. When we talk about the ministry of Paul, we're talking about the words of Christ also. Paul says that the information he got, the message he proclaims, he neither received it of men nor was he taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this information that Paul writes in his epistles is as much the words of Christ as what he spoke in his earthly ministry. It's just to a different group of people in a different context for a different purpose. Last week we considered the question, what must I do to be saved? And we saw the two distinct answers that would be given by Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry and his apostles that ministered with him at that time, and the answer that would be given by Paul. Today, let's ask the question, how should I live my life? Suppose someone is saved, they understand that Christ has died for their sins, but they now want a pattern. Who do I pattern my life after? How should I live my life? And if your thought about that question, or if your response to that question is, well, what would Jesus do? Then you're going to be presenting a certain group of facts and a certain information to them that really is quite contradictory from what Paul would instruct them to do in the dispensation of grace. And we're going to look at that here through the course of our study today. But that question, what would Jesus do, really will not give the answer to someone who is saying, well, how should I live my life? What would Christ say to that? What would his answer be? Well, if you turn to Matthew chapter 23, and I quoted this passage just a few moments ago, Matthew 23, here's one thing Christ would say. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. He's going to tell you to observe those that sit in Moses' seat. By extension, he's telling you to obey the law. That's what he's going to tell you. Back in Matthew chapter 19, he's talking to the rich young ruler about eternal life, but he says in verse 17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, Jesus Christ would tell you, how should I live my life? You should keep the law of Moses. You should keep every jot and every tittle of the law of Moses. And people will say, in fact, let's turn back to that passage, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You need to keep the law. Now, we say, well, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal. And that's true. That is a part of the law. But the law also is all the commandments given to Israel. 613 commandments and ordinances and statutes. The feast days, the fast days, the sacrifices, all of those are a part of the law. When Jesus Christ says, whosoever there shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so. It's not just the Big Ten. It's all of the commandments, all of the ordinances, all of the sacrifices, all of the feast days, all of the fast days, all those days, every commandment of the law, whether it's the ceremonial law, the civil law, or the moral law found in the Ten Commandments, every one of those you must keep. So if someone comes to you and says, how should I live my life? And you say, well, what would Jesus do? What would he say? Jesus Christ would, in his earthly ministry, would command you to keep every jot and tittle of the law. Every minute detail. The least of the commandments you must keep. So we'd be putting people under the law and under the performance system of the law. And beyond that, in Matthew chapter 6, we would teach them a certain way of living their life, even beyond keeping the commandments and the statutes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus Christ says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." As Jesus Christ gives his Sermon on the Mount, commonly called Sermon on the Mount, here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he gives them instruction about, he goes beyond what the law says, and he says, here's my instruction about how to live. My instruction is, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't think about what you will eat. Don't think about what you will wear. Don't think about where you will live. God will take care of you. Now understand, he does that in a specific context, in the context of Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, where he says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In the context of the kingdom of heaven being at hand, he tells us, he tells them certain things. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, here's how you need to live. Take no thought for tomorrow. You don't need to take any thought for the future because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Just get into that kingdom and God will take care of you. When the kingdom comes, the curse will be removed and you'll have all that you need. But you see, we couldn't instruct someone today to live based upon that. In fact, we'll look at Paul's instruction in just a few moments here and see how it is that we could not instruct someone those same things. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow. Don't worry about any of that, because in the context that Jesus Christ is preaching to them, the kingdom is at hand. Remember, he came to fulfill the promises. A minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made to the fathers, one of those promises was the kingdom that was to come. And that in the kingdom, the curse would be removed from the earth and he'd restore the conditions in Eden and you'll have want of nothing, you'll live in utopia. That's one of the things that Christ is offering to the circumcision, is that kingdom. And that's why they're told to live that way, with an eye toward the kingdom coming. If I told you today, the Lord is going to return in 2 weeks, would you live differently than you would otherwise? You sure would. I'm sure you would. Why? Because you don't have to plan for the long term anymore, because he's coming. No, I can't tell you that. We don't know that. But during the earthly ministry of Christ, he said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you need to get ready, Israel. So you need to live like the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to forget about all these things that you're thinking about. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 4, in fact. What does Paul say? Jesus Christ, if you ask the question, how should I live my life? And then you say, well, what would Jesus do? What would he say about that? You would do two things. You would live under the law, number one, and you would get ready for the kingdom. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about all that stuff. Get ready for the kingdom because it's at hand. It's coming to the earth. Galatians chapter 4, Paul says this in verse 9. But now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. The church at Galatia was going back under the law, observing days and months and times and years. Paul says, I'm afraid of you. You shouldn't be doing that. But now wait. Jesus Christ said, you obey the least of these laws. You don't offend in one point of these laws. Not one jot or one tittle of the law can be broken. You need to keep all the law. Paul says, you're going back under that law. I'm afraid of you. He tells them in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Paul says circumcision and the law are eliminated as a means of righteousness. Jesus Christ ministered to the circumcision. That's who he came to preach to. Paul says, I testify to every man that's circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If you're following circumcision in the law today, you're fallen from grace. You've messed up. That's not what you're supposed to do today. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That's the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Paul says, the law is not the issue. He nailed that law to his cross. It's gone. It's done. It's over. What about selling all that you have and take no thought for the morrow and don't worry about things like that? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if any provide not for his own, especially for they of his own house, he hath denied the faith and worse than an infidel. You know, someone wants to know how they live, how to live their life today, and you tell them, well, what would Jesus do? You know what? Jesus wouldn't have life insurance because Jesus wouldn't take thought for tomorrow. Jesus wouldn't have a 401k because he wasn't planning on retiring because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Paul says, if you don't provide for yourself, and especially they for your own household, you're worse than an infidel. You don't have life insurance and retirement and a job and bring home that money, you're worse than an infidel. Jesus Christ said, no, forget about all that. See, this stuff affects how you live your life, how you understand God's word. Whether you're following a minister of the circumcision, fulfilling prophecy, living under the law, preparing Israel for the kingdom, or whether you're following a minister of the uncircumcision, presenting Jesus Christ according to Revelation, the mystery, living in the dispensation of grace, who you're following is important, determines a lot about what you're going to do in your life. We need to understand that what would Jesus do will not give you the answer to the question of how you should live your life. The question of how you should live your life is, what did Paul teach? What was Paul's instruction? Paul's instruction was not, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat or what you shall wear. That was never Paul's instruction in the dispensation of grace. In fact, Paul's instruction is exactly the opposite of that. Paul's instruction was never, keep the law of Moses. In fact, Paul's instruction was directly the opposite of that. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of an holy day or a Sabbath day or of a new moon. That stuff was nailed to his cross. You see, for the person who says, how should I live my life to be pleasing to the Lord? The answer, what would Jesus do or do what Jesus did in his earthly ministry is not sufficient, is not proper. In fact, it's just flat out wrong. To teach someone to live today in the dispensation of grace in the way that Jesus Christ was teaching people to live in his earthly ministry. We are not under the law today, we're under grace. And we are not preparing for the kingdom to come today. We are preparing to be caught away to be with the Lord in heaven. But we're not given a time frame for that. We're not told anything's at hand. We are to plan as though the dispensation of grace will continue. Don't go out and cancel your life insurance. Don't go out. No, take no thought for tomorrow. Nobody listening to my voice bought their life insurance hoping to use it that day. You bought life insurance hoping never to use it, but having it for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But you didn't buy it hoping to use it today. You didn't buy fire insurance on your house hoping you get to use it today. You see, those instructions fit with an at-hand kingdom, but not with a dispensation of grace. Next week, we'll look at one last question that needs to be answered. And until then, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week with any questions or comments that you might have. If you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, just write and request it. Request the series, What Would Jesus Do? Or WWJD, we'll know what it means. And we'll be glad to get those materials out to you right away without any cost or obligation. Until next week, when we conclude this series, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.